Starbands Audio.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Today, because I'm still on a camping vacation in my mind.
I'm drinking because it's ibuprofen or it's booze, and for at this moment, I'm making the switch.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
What's going on today, man? You're not feeling well?
I don't even know anymore, dude. Do you want to hear about my week, and we include the camping trip in the middle of it? Or should I just go off on my bullshit, and then we could also discuss the camping trip?
I'd like to hear your bullshit, and we'll get to the camping trip when you're done.
Okay. All right.
What's going on, man?
Well, it all stopped. The camping trip was our shared calamity. That was some of the meat and the shit sandwich of this trip to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
So for people that had viewed the Instagram, of which I had to lock the comments on because, of course, you have to do that.
I never think to do that.
I usually don't, and then I forget that people can be total pieces of shit and wildly unreasonable, and on top of things, also just getting misinterpreted. With any kind of discussion about anything other than, hey, here's a joke and there's a joke. So I got down here on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I got to my sister's place, and her girlfriend, they were actually camping out in the desert. So I had the place to myself, and she told me, she's like, all right, The alarm was like being tripped while we were gone. So would you take a look at it? Because the landlord went by. I didn't go in the house, but everything was locked up and looked fine. But the back door sensor was going off. I get here, the little wall unit, not a Simply Safe, by the way. So we're not throwing a sponsor to the bus. We'll make that clear. So that is not a Simply Safe issue. I'm not sure what unit they have, but it's not a Simply Safe brand home security. But I see on the little wall unit that it says low battery for the back door sensor. So I told T, I'm like, oh, it's just a low battery thing. I'm like, oh, she's like, okay, cool. We didn't know if somebody was messing with the house or not. And they're in a little like bungalow in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get in Friday night. I get a Fresh Brothers pizza, you know, the best pizza you can get in the Hollywood area as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. That's like... Mm-hmm. Regular pizza, not like a mozza or some like, not like a fancy type of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm back. You know, I get my favorite pizza. I'm hanging out. I'm watching TV. Just got in from a long drive. Great Friday night. Saturday, wake up. I'm kicking around. I go do a show at the Magic Castle parking lot thing. And it's pretty fun. It's weird. I haven't really done a drive-in show where people are in their cars. But it was fun to just do a set. I haven't done, you know, live set in L.A. since last summer. And so I got to see some friends. I got to see Rene Gauthier and some other folks that were hanging around. And it was fun. I got like, and so here's the thing. You got to order the drinks from the Magic Castle. So I'm like, with an app, I'm like, well, I'm not going to go into an app every time I want to drink. Like, it's like the fucking airplane. So I'm like, no, I'll just give me like three beers. And I'm like, two of these canned Mai Tais. First mistake of the trip, Dave. Canned Mai Tais. I was I'm trying to find symbolism in all this. I'm trying to find a conspiracy of how this could have all gone so wrong. Canned Mai Tai was the first one. Stay away from them, people. Mm-hmm. They look like a good idea. I like a fun drink. What if that whole drink was just made in a, you know, a factory in a can somewhere? They're disgusting, but they're very strong. So I had one of the, I finished one and I had, I think I gave a beer away too. So I didn't think I was drinking that too much. But they're sneaky because I guess there's two shots in each. I should have known this because Pete Lee was on the show and I was offering beers because I just bought some beers with the app right away and to his wife or his girlfriend. And she's like, no, I had one of those last night, the canned mixed drinks. And she's like, I was pouring shots in it because I didn't think it was going to be strong enough. I didn't realize there was two shots in there already. So she had warned me. But so I have those. I come back. Renee actually gave me a ride home Saturday night because I realized I still had half of the can with me. I go inside, hanging out. I think I wind up going to Fat Sal's. I rode the little folding bike. Mm-hmm. I left at my sister down to Fat Sal's. Everybody's fun at Fat Sal's. For people who don't know, it's just a big, stupid sandwich place in Hollywood. Not that the place is stupid, but they make big, stupid sandwiches. Mm-hmm. You're familiar, right, Dave?
Oh,
do you,
yeah.
Do you enjoy Fat Sal's?
Right. I do. I've had it many times. That's the one, what is that, like Santa Monica and La Brea, somewhere over there in Weho?
It's like Lex.
Fountain.
Yeah, Fountain Highland, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's Fountain Highland. Or Lexington Island, so one of those. But it was closed. Nothing else was open. I wrote over it. And it's always good vibes there because everybody, it's like real stoner food. Like they put chicken tenders and mozzarella sticks in the sandwiches. But it's still somehow good. It's still somehow reasonably sized for what the descriptions are. Uh-huh. Like they're always big sandwiches, but for like, and inside the sandwich, there's four mini corn dogs and jalapeno poppers. And like, well, this should be the size of a 2-year-old child. But it never is. It's like, no, this is like it's a big sandwich, but I'll eat half tomorrow. But so I went over there, got the falafel. Not, you know, it's not great. They're a vegetarian version, but they were open and everybody's in their pajamas. Everybody's stoned and everybody's like in a good mood over there because it's just munchy food. And it was a Saturday night and everybody's kind of, and the people at work, they have a good attitude about it. Like some girls like Prius wouldn't start in the parking lot. Everybody's laughing at her, but she was laughing too. It's just like good vibes, man. And it was feeling good to be back in L.A., so I'm like, I miss this. Yeah. I remember every time I would go there late at night, it was always like fun stoner vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody just kind of squinting and smiling at each other. So I get my sandwich. I come back. I eat it. Fall asleep Saturday night. Sunday, wake up. I'm wrecked, man. Like the hangovers that you just get now in your 40s.
Yeah.
Have you been hungover lately?
Not really, man. I don't get hung over that much.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
bless your heart. I've got
quite a tolerance or something. Yeah. I bet you it's been a couple of years since I've been hung over. But I know what you mean. I have been hung over in my 40s, and it's not like being hung over in your 20s.
It feels like it'll never go away. Mm-hmm. Well, and I was telling you when we were camping, like the Johnny Cash lyric, no way to hang my head that didn't hurt. I couldn't even lay down in a way that felt okay. It felt like the pillows were just filled with gravel. So I'm just having a rough one. I realized that Tegan and her girlfriend are coming home that day. So I'm like, well, I got to clean up some of my mess. And I'm picking it up. I go take stuff out of the, I'm going to close up the roof vent here. I'm in the mobile unit right now, so it's a little noisy.
Okay.
So I got to take the trash out the back door. No big deal. I got to, you know, unlock the door from the inside, put the trash out. And I'm laying on the couch and they have curtains, like kind of transparent curtains. And I see they have a gate from where their little patio is to the sidewalk. And the gate opens up, which is weird. You got to open it by reaching over the top. And it opens. I'm thinking it's them getting home, but I see people coming in. I just see figures, but I can tell they're wearing masks. And I'm like, it's weird that they're wearing masks to come back to their own house. And then the front door opens like maybe 6 inches and closes. So I can't see who it is. I just see the door opens and closes. I'm like, is this like a maintenance man? Was there like somebody coming to work on the house that I didn't realize? So I get up and open the door. And that's when you could see the video on the Instagram. You could see them opening it and saying the door's open. And it's cops. It's cops with their guns out. And I'm just, I'm hungover as shit. I already look crazy when I'm bathed and have my shit brushed. But when it's not, there's a photo on Instagram too. It's like Nick Nolte up top and full like Randy Quaid down on the beard. Like it's a it's like a mashup of every celebrity mugshot. It's bad looking. And so then their guns were out and everybody could see it on Instagram. Like, well, how you doing? Step out of the house. Their voices were raised, but they were not yelling. Mm-hmm. You know, it was definitely a scary thing, but I also know that I didn't do anything wrong. And I'll try to address everybody's thoughts that they had on Instagram about like, well, you're white. I know that. I know my skin color. I'm not a fucking idiot. I know that mm-hmm. People with other skin tones have different experiences with the police. I know that. But also, I know that of all white people, I am on the suspect end of that look.
Yeah.
I am on the, I bet this place has hot water end of the white dude and look.
Can of beans.
Yeah. So right away, my hands go up. And I'm like, whoa. And that's when the one guy, like, there's one guy with his gun out. He's like, well, step on out. And then you see that there's like a bald guy that goes, oh, well, we got a panic alarm triggered here. And that's when I was right away. I'm like, this is my sister's house. I explained to him directly what was happening. He had me come outside within 30 seconds. He's like, you can put your arms down. And he made, like you always say about making a judgment in a situation. Now, maybe it was because I was white. When I had a story that was just like very immediate and very like, I know it's my sister's house. She actually told me about it. You could check the unit on that wall right there. It will tell you there's a low battery on that sensor. And also I was just barefoot, you know, I wasn't also physically threatening. Didn't have my hands were showing. I clearly didn't have any weapons. They didn't frisk me. They didn't do anything like that. They may have, I don't even remember actually. Mm-hmm. But then the guy, then you could see the whole conversation on Instagram because I actually had the panic alarm tripped over here. I'm like, that's wild. I just took the trash out the back door. And keep in mind, it's a panic alarm. Everybody's like, with the guns out, that's aggressive. No, it was the alarm that you hit when you're like, I need police right away. Shit's mm-hmm. bad. Not a motion center, a panic alarm. And man, did people blow up my Instagram with super dumb shit, man.
What do you mean?
Just saying, oh, that was, you know, that fuck, they were just out looking to murder somebody. Shut the fuck up, man. Listen, I know what the temperature is regarding police. Mm-hmm. And I we've already had this discussion on the show. And I am not a fan of police. And yes, I agree, there needs to be some overhaul going on with them. But people are telling me what's going on about a situation I'm in. They're yeah. looking at a video that I was a part of and then trying to put it into their narrative. And that's what I took offense to, because guess what? All you're doing is making me distrust any story that comes out, because now I'm being shown how this shit can get twisted to fit whatever scenario whoever the storyteller is wants it to fit in. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden I wasn't the storyteller anymore, even though I was the one in the story. People were like, nope, they were out. Those guns were out. That was aggressive. Now being a gun owner and having been around people at a shooting range, I'm not as fearful of a gun that's in the open. And they were down. They were never pointed mm-hmm. at me. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah, I acknowledged. I'm a Caucasian person. And I know that other people aren't as lucky and other cops are more aggressive. I know all that stuff. I'm talking about this situation. It doesn't represent all police.
People think that the cops weren't supposed to have their guns drawn to an open door panic alarm.
Yeah. And
yeah, sorry, that's just protocol. All right, that's the other thing. They're not even they're not even being proactive. They're responding to a call.
Yeah,
you know they're doing. I'm not a big fan either. We've talked about that, but they're doing their job. You get a panic alarm. You got an open door. Yeah, guns come out.
But
now, once they assess the situation and realize what's going on, then the guns get holstered. That's just how police work.
And operates. And yes, and I could, like, what if I was black? Would it be assessed differently? We can what if our way into any scenario we want from this starting point. You can what if anything. But having been there, firsthand experience, telling you my story. But then, of course, me saying I think they did what they were supposed to in this turns into like, oh, you're a fucking, oh, you're like a cop lover now. Oh, that's how it's got to be because you got to work in absolutes. You got to like, there's no, you know, the largest part of people, which are not all the way to one end or the other. They're not the vocal ones. It's the loud ones like fucking, all right, whatever. I'm like, no, call me a bootlicker. You want to call me a bootlicker. So do that. Don't be a fucking coward and say, it looks like you're like on the cop side. Say the word you want to say to me. Don't be a chicken shit. And there's one specific person that's like, fuck, whatever, man. Fuck, have fun with your cop buddies. Fuck you and your fucking short-sighted punk rock attitude. You absolute shit. Your circle of friends is going to shrink. I'll tell you that much. When it's got to be this. And we, like, if you can't do anything or if you can't do everything, don't do anything type of shit. So that's why I'm like, why am I arguing? I'm blowing out my morning, and this was the other day. That's why I'm pissed about it now, because I just put the video up the other day. This happened last Sunday, so like 7 days ago, 8 days ago. But so yeah, there was no decent discussion happening. I was just trying to present it. It was not a defense of the police. I really just thought I was like, man, here's a crazy story, and oh, I got the footage of it. Yeah. I just thought like, here's a wild story that happened to me. Isn't this something? Not like no spin on it. I didn't present it with any spin, just like a fuck. Wow. Here's a way to kick a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also thought that, but you can't, if you show police in any way, it's got, you have to have an opinion about them. And I didn't in this situation. I was just like, they showed up to a thing they were supposed to show up to.
Yeah. Well, where's the controversy? Yeah. The thing is, most people running their mouth about cops don't know what the fuck they're talking about in regards to experience and context. Like, yeah, we all know the temperature right now with the police and public relations, but they still have a job to do, when especially when there's a 911 call, when there's a panic alarm call. They still have to respond. Yeah. They got a panic alarm. They got an open door. Yeah, guns are coming out. That doesn't give them the right to fucking stick it in your temple and put their boot on the back of your head.
Yeah.
But yeah, guns come out until we figure out that this is no longer a threat. Like, most people, because most people aren't or weren't police officers, and that's understandable, but most people don't know what the fuck they're talking about in terms of X's and O's of police work, because they've never been there. They don't know. And yes, and I know this sounds like I'm defending. I mean, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of cases of incompetent police work, right? Yeah. But on a day-to-day basis, they still exist, they still serve a function, and they still have to go respond to panic alarms.
Yeah, and like I'm saying, this isn't a fucking motion sensor or my cat stuck in the trees. And the person arguing, like, once you've subscribed to the ACAB belief that all cops are bastards, you're going to wedge any interaction with police into that belief system. Mm-hmm. You're going to put, it's like, it's a fucking, the Lord works in mysterious ways. If you're a Christian, anything that happens, you're going to fucking find a way to praise Jesus about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that's just, well, the Lord, it must have, that's God's plan or some shit.
Yeah.
And so I understand why that phrase exists and that mentality exists, that like, the fact that you would even want to be a police officer, that you're already subscribing, like basically joining a fraternity or in a case, LA, a gang, that things that are factual and are fucked up. But in this case, they were not bastards. They were just, and I get like, yes, being a cop entails enforcing real stupid laws and it helps keep poor people and harassing. I get all that. I'm on your fucking side. Are you that fucking blind and deaf to not know that I'm on your fucking side and all I was doing was pointing out a situation that happened to me and you wanted to spin it and then, oh, you're a cop lover. You lost a fucking ally, you fucks. You lost a friend. That's what you did. Unfollow me? Good riddance, buddy. I have fucking got it. You got to fucking trim the fucking shrubs to get the flowers to bloom. So good riddance. Go fuck yourself in your own asshole. That's what I got to say to that. Sorry, not a cool response, but it got me so pissed to be like, wait, no, this I was there. And anyway, I'm repeating myself several times from what I went on Instagram Live, which I never do to kind of just get this shit off my chest. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, I'm on your side with these things. But you want to be an extremist? Because you're an extremist at this point. All cops are bad. You're an extremist. And
I mean, that really is a ridiculous sentiment. The all cops are bad.
I understand why it exists, though. All cops are broken, yeah. Which is that's the sentence. I was like, this fact that that's the job you would choose, even if you just needed a job, mm-hmm. I think is still says something about you personally. But like we discussed, you needed a job. It seemed like a good job with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I still would not choose that job.
Mm-hmm.
If there was any other job available, I would not choose to be a police officer. So I think that's what it stems from. The idea that you would either want to be a police officer or choose to out of perceived necessity. Is that like, okay, well, that already says something about you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they showed up. They did their job. Everything was didn't even escalate, rather heightened to de-escalate rather quickly. People had opinions about it. I shut the comments down because I'm like, this isn't productive. Anyway, that was my Sunday, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when we were standing on the patio, there was like three or four gunshots from about two blocks away, and they all looked at each other like, we should probably do that instead of this shit. Cause I explained to them like, nope, here's my name. Here's my information. Here's my license. Yes. That's my van. I get the van didn't add to the look.
Yeah.
But they could see that I was just laying in there watching TV. There was no break in. They cleared the house to bungalow. There's nothing to clear. Look in the bathroom there. Mm-hmm. Good. It's empty. But also the police station's like a block away. I know that because that's the one I spent the night in after my DUI. So I know how close the police station is, which is why I think there were so many of them here quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And for my sister and her girlfriend's sake, and knowing this neighborhood, I'm glad that the response was that quick because of the neighborhood, because the gunshot. So they mm-hmm. went and checked out the gunshots. And then, so that was that. And then I was laying in bed that night and there was like three earthquakes. So that was, Sunday.
Those.
Yeah. You missed them. I think the first two, I looked it up because the first two came up and then I was laying there awake, not knowing why I was awake. And then heard didn't really feel it because we're on the ground at this place, but all our shit was shaking and everything. And you're just like, it's one of those things like, you know it. Well, earthquake. And it lasted mm-hmm. just long enough to where it got to that. It gets a little scary because you don't know how intense something's going to get.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of like, oh, it's already weird that the whole building's shaking, but now it's shaking a little bit more. Now it's shaking a little mm-hmm. bit more. How much further is this going to go? So that was that.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
All right, let's talk about Simply Safe. Which part of your house feels a little less secure than you might want? Maybe it's your first floor windows. Maybe a French door. For me, it was my windows because this is an old apartment with old windows and I didn't trust the little locks that were on there. But thanks to Simply Safe, we fixed that problem. They sent me a system, set it up in about 30 minutes. You got the window monitors, you got the motion detectors, you got the keypad, you got all kind of great stuff. with SimpliSafe. I never have to worry about that now. There's no time, day or night, where I have to worry about my apartment or its belongings or the people who live in it, thanks to SimpliSafe. Even if you already feel safe, that might not be true for everyone in your home. If you've never had a conversation about that, it's honestly not a bad idea to do so. It just feels really good to be able to press the home button on my SimpliSafe keypad and hear the bass say alarm on and know that if anyone did try to come in, the alarm would go off. And the thing is, SimpliSafe just makes it so easy. Takes about 2 minutes to customize a system on their website, simplisafe.com/boogie. The system arrives in about a week, and then it takes just about 30 minutes to set it up. If I can do it, anyone can do it. I'm done with technology. I did it myself. I'm serious. It was so easy. We feel so much better. Here's what you do. Simplisafe.com/boogie today to customize your system and get a free security camera. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. That's SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/boogie.
So that was that. Then Monday, went to the desert. We'll cover that soon.
Yeah.
Because then I got back from the desert finally after that endeavor. I got back Thursday. Mm-hmm. Friday, did a show in Echo Park at the American Barber Company. It's Renee's show. She did it. It was a fun show, but I forgot that. Assholes have been cooped up for a year too. So they're back out there. And so there was like four dudes in the front and it looked like two, there were like two couples. It's four dudes, but it's two couples. Cause
it's the outdoor show.
Outdoor show. Mm. And the one dude was just kind of like, it's weird to say like flamboyant gay guy heckling can be taken as slightly more party atmosphere than like a dude being like a straight up fucking, yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Like, all right, I'm going to get flamboyant heckler is going to get a little more slack cut for him. You know, like, all right. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, you go girl. Like, you know, being all sassy and fun about it. Because it was kind of like more rooting on than it was interrupting, but then it just turned into interrupting and nobody was really doing anything about it. And I was already like in back, like somebody's got to, like I would prefer a producer to handle this. And then Alonzo Bowden went on. I don't know much about Alonzo Bowden, but he like handled it like he had a great set making fun of this heckler, but not even like a, I'll make you a part of it and talk to you in a, man, you've been like, this is how bad heckling's gotten over a year. You're out of shape. This is your dumb shit you got to say. Like, it like went off on this dude till you think like you should be embarrassed now because that was real funny and it was at your expense. And so the guy shut up. But this dude was on drugs or something. So I felt bad. Ryan Dalton went up after Alonzo. And this dude, like somebody hit the off button on this guy because he's in the front row and his head just went down after a while. I think he was like a shark. If he wasn't partying, he was gonna die. But Ryan Dalton said had some bit, and this guy just woke up. He's like, "Oh yeah, I know about that," and then just walked up onto the stage. And he was enough of like a, he was like a drugged out and definitely like a twink, like a lithe, wiry dude. And so nobody even knew how to like, if it was a regular old dude rush the stage, especially Dalton would have just fucking slapped him in the face. But this guy wasn't going to get his hands out in front of him. Cause even Ryan was saying, he's like, if I even pushed him off the stage, he could have fallen and hit his head. And now that we're all a little more mature to know, like, you know, punching that guy, but then like, oh, don't hit your head. Like, I want to teach you a lesson, but I don't want to fucking paralyze you. And that was a situation.
For the record, I wasn't teaching him a lesson. I was defending myself.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but still, you knew that like a sock to the face is one thing, but the fall is where shit goes south and all these stories.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they thought they were just being macho, and then he hit his head on the curb, and now the guy's got murder charges. Mm. But the guy got on there, and there was some dude who was just sitting by himself sitting by himself watching the show. And as soon as the guy even got to the stage, because he was a few rows back, this guy, you could tell he's like, fuck this, and just walked up to the stage, grabbed this dude around the waist, because the stage is about 2 or 3 feet tall, grabbed him around the waist and just carried him out the back. And this guy,
just another audience,
an
member?
Audience member, was just like, I've had enough of this motherfucker. And just this good dude's flailing. It was like carrying a toddler out of a store. It was funny because this guy's like, I've had enough, and just carried him, got him to the back. And then the dude was trying to fight people, but it was one of those like, no, it's like when you see a kid thinks he can bully an adult. It really was that kind of attitude of like, what are you going to do to me? Like, he almost had that, like, or like, and I hate saying like when a woman picks a fight with a dude because they don't expect, you know, they don't expect a fair fight. And yeah. Which nobody did. Nobody just hustled him outside. But I guess everybody's like, his eyes were as big as dinner plates. He was fucking whacked out. So that was Friday night after I got back, like, you know, finally doing comedy. Oh, assholes are back at comedy shows. Well, I forgot about that for a long time.
Yeah.
Saturday, I go, you know, I still wasn't figuring out how to get a vaccine. Of course, my better half is like, I figured out there's an appointment available at wherever, Cal State, I don't know, someplace in East LA. So I went out there. Got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Here's my bit about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, Dave. You'll hear it on stage. Uh-huh. It's appropriately named Johnson & Johnson because after you get it, you feel like you've been fucked by two huge dicks.
That's good.
Yeah, I felt like I got fucking spit roasted 5 hours after the fact.
Really?
I've never felt that sick in my life.
What kind of sick was it? Like nausea or what?
I started feeling like my stomach was a little upset.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also like, I've just been eating stupid shit. And I drank Friday night. So I'm like, it's like diarrhea. And diarrhea is never a symptom. It's just lifestyle based for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you got diarrhea? Probably, you know. I guess I'll drink more water, wait for something solid to come out in a few days. Like, I don't ever think it's like a symptom of an illness. It's just like, yeah, well, look what you put in your body.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the cost of doing business.
Yeah. You don't pour Mountain Dew in a hot rod and then are shocked it doesn't cross the finish line. So I'm laid out Saturday night, like the chills so bad. I'm under all the blankets. Tegan and her gal had gone out to eat. So I was by myself. I'm under all the blankets. I got a winter hat on. I got a hoodie on with the hood on over the winter hat and just like teeth rattling, shaking.
Wow.
Could tell I had a fever. I didn't take my temperature. Could tell I had a fever. Finally took some Tylenol. That took the edge off of it a little bit. But the rest of that night was just like fevers and the fever breaking and sweating like crazy and body aches, like real sore body aches and just beat up. I feel like I got the shit kicked out of me.
That sucks.
Did you didn't feel that with yours?
No. I got the Moderna and it's the 2-shot. Cycle. I've only had the first shot.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't skip a beat after that first shot. Like nothing felt different at all.
That's what I was thinking.
I've heard the second shot is a little rougher, and I get that in a couple of weeks. All but right. Yeah, that first shot was a piece of cake. There's nothing to
I'll
it.
I'll follow up. Let's follow up with that then. Yeah, because I thought I was going to do it. I was going back to the Magic Castle for a show that night. I had to cancel that. There's no way I was going to make it to that. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday yesterday, woke up still feeling rough, like not the chills. I'm sorry. Yeah, woke up yesterday. It's more like dizzy, like if I get up and move around, but maybe it's because I wasn't in the mood to eat. I couldn't really eat food, so I was in a rough time. So I was trying to drink orange juice, drink fluids, taking Tylenols. But also like my leg was starting to hurt, which is weird. So then last night, I'm like, I'm slowly kind of getting better. And I had two spots. I was supposed to do two spots last night at some place in Hollywood. Like it was a 7 o'clock show and a 9:30 show. Mm-hmm. And I really thought I was going to get to those. And I was just like, I was just beat down and mentally and physically exhausted. So I wasn't sick, but I was like, I don't want to go up and just do like a shit job and also look like hell around people. So you don't want like mm-hmm. people getting suspect, because then, yeah, I'm sitting here yesterday and Tina and Gail were out again. And there's some dude just sitting on the curb, just coughing. Like he only knew, ugh. Like that's how he breathed.
Mm.
To the point where I was out at one point fucking around the van. I came back out with my mask on and just looked at a dude. He's sitting across the street on his phone, just sitting on the curb, just only cough, not like a cough occasionally. Like his exhale was coughing. And I just, wow. I was like, dude, do you want a water? Like, and I said it, I would have given him one if he said yes, but it was said much more of like, how about you fuck off from this area right now? With your no-mask coughing ass. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I have one. Then went and sat in his car. Because it was going on for like a half hour. I'm like, you don't have a throat left to be coughing this much.
Yeah.
So that was during the day. And then, yeah, so I just was not feeling good. Canceled the shows. And I thought this would be the icing on the cake. But really today, my knee not being able to walk. And I don't know if it's a gout flare-up or arthritis flare-up possibly as a result of the vaccine. But then last night, I do a little self-maintenance, you know, I went to the races on myself, a little internet. Fornication. And, mm-hmm. you know, give me a serotonin boost, at least give me something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking.
Yeah. Shoo the raccoons off the porch.
Let me reclaim the property. Mm-hmm. So I normally keep a little posted over my webcam, but it has since fallen off in the last couple weeks. But normally there's something always there. Now, what I got is, I'm sure it's spam, but the timing was impeccable.
Mm.
Fucking soon as I, you know, handle things, you know, as soon mm-hmm. as I clean the gutters
mm-hmm.
and go back to sit down, all of a sudden it's like, so we got this. Your webcam was accessed, and now you got to send us Bitcoin. But the scam doesn't work if people don't have Bitcoin. This is not how I want to get into cryptocurrency. But I asked a few people, like, it's 100% bullshit. Don't worry about it. But I was like, the timing was so perfect. But also, my ass has already been on Netflix. Fuck, go for it, man. I give a fuck. If it was a real scam, you'd get so many more emails from people of like people going, oh, here's your buddy beating off.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so that was just like, oh, cool. What a cool other thing to happen.
Damn, buddy.
And then, yeah, this morning, then last night, my knee was bad. Today, I can't really walk. So.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's been a super cool trip to L.A. Good thing I got this whole van to carry a bike around. So the bike can see the inside of a van for 2 weeks, because I ain't riding a bike.
Damn, buddy. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
You know,
man.
Obligatory, people have it worse, blah, 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 I'm being a big baby. But you know, man. Anyway, I've hijacked the first half. You want to discuss our adventure in the desert?
Well, I was about to say, you had all that misfortune, and you didn't even get to our desert trip, which overall, I guess was a success, but there was definitely a few speed bumps.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad because let's talk about the van.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get stuck, but it's another thing to get stuck like on your, while you're exiting, while you're leaving the party. You were packing up shop. You're going to head back a day early because you had some showbiz stuff pop up.
Yeah.
And right when you were pulling off, you fucking got stuck for what, 4 hours, 5 hours, something like that?
I think I was digging for about 4 or 5 hours. Yeah, it was like super windy and it was kind of blasting pretty out. And like, well, I do kind of need an admin day because now that everything's back open, it's like, oh shit, I have to respond to emails and record things and send things. Like, oh yeah, all this stuff. So that was like,
mm-hmm.
Still managed to at least get that done Friday during the day, which is good because I didn't realize Saturday, Sunday, during the day would be a complete wash.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was just digging. I was just digging. You were making ribs, and you really couldn't help. There was only one shovel, which was yours.
Yeah, I felt bad. I felt bad that I wasn't helping you dig, but we just had the one shovel. Plus, I had ribs on the grill, and I had stuff to tend to. But I did feel bad.
You needed those ribs, man.
You were huffing it.
You needed those ribs. Those ribs were important to you.
Oh, man. So let's recap the weekend. All right. So you and I get out there at about the same time on Monday.
Yeah.
Probably around 2 o'clock. Now, I won't name names or throw anybody under the bus, but the guy who kind of orchestrated or at least, initiated this trip, he canceled 5 minutes before I arrived. Like, I'm pulling up to the location to wait and meet you on the main road so we can travel these back roads together so we don't get lost. Right when I pull up, the guy texts me, who was supposed to be on an airplane the day before, and who was real vague about committing to whether or not he was going to show up. He texts me, says, I'm not going to make it. So, all right, okay.
And somewhat expected, quite frankly, somewhat expected.
Quite frankly, I kind of expected that. I love the guy, but let's be honest. He's one of my more flaky friends in terms of just following through with what he says he's going to do. So in the back of my mind, I kind of knew that he was probably going to bail. I thought it would be a week or two in advance, not an hour before I arrived, but that's okay. So you and I get there, and we finally find the place. And, just talk about isolated, just desert backcountry. And it was beautiful. And so the first night, I had a good time. It was just you and I. And cooked us up some shrimp and grits, a little first night dinner there. That was pretty good. I was pretty pleased with
stellar.
That. It's pretty pleased
that with that. That got me so excited for the rest of the meals.
Oh, yeah. And then the second night, I made homemade jerk chicken, which I'll let you explain what kind of impact the smell of that chicken had.
I broke edge, man.
You broke.
Part of my moral structure with meat eating got affected because I'm like, well, if this, because by at that point there was the four of us were there. The other two fellas made it out. And Kenny and Fritz made it out. And the fifth party, well, that you had prepared for four people to be eating meat.
Yeah.
And there was a third, the fourth person wasn't there. So there was extra portions. And I'm like, well, I not that I thought anything would go to waste with the crew that was there. But I definitely shifted the needle on my belief system. Like, well, there's a possibility this chicken would just go to waste since the person who was supposed to eat it didn't show up. I guess I'll have to eat that chicken. And I ate that chicken.
I was pretty pleased.
You should be, Dave.
I'll give that recipe at the end of the episode.
You made restaurant meals just over a fire in the desert.
Yeah, man. I think I was looking forward to that, to the cooking aspect of this trip as much as anything else.
Just so people know, you had like the table style grills.
Yeah, I had two little self standing grill grates that you just prop over the campfire.
At that point, there's a wall of firewood. Like when you see a rich person that lives in like Vermont, and they have that kind of wall of wood outside. Like, you had that in the desert just for cooking. This was only for cooking.
Yeah. Bunch of firewood, a couple bags of charcoal just to get it started with the charcoal chimney. I started every fire with a charcoal chimney. Little charcoal in there, get it started, then throw the wood on top. I had two grills. I have the cast iron Dutch oven with the tripod, and then I also had I only used it a couple of times, but I had the little propane tabletop camping stove.
Yeah,
so I had a two burner stove, two grills, and a tripod with the Dutch oven. So I was pretty well stocked up and prepared, and made the shrimp and grits the first night, jerk chicken the second night. Third night, because we'll talk about that in a minute. We were going to do mushrooms. And so the third day, I was like, well, I don't want to get high on mushrooms, start tripping my balls off, and then try to cook.
Yeah.
So I put on a nice pot of cowboy beans, just let those simmer all day.
With a big old ham hock in it, which I also had some of those.
Yeah, I had the ham hock going.
We went full, at that point, it was true Blazing Saddles cosplay with our assholes.
Oh, man. It was a fart festival.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else?
Competed with the coyotes for the noisiest in the desert that night.
With the jerk chicken, I made the broccoli casserole. That was a pretty good combo. The jerk chicken with the broccoli casserole, and I put a little of the jerk seasoning in the broccoli casserole to complement it. So that was pretty good. Made breakfast casserole one morning. That turned out great. Made homemade hash browns pretty much every morning. Even invested in, I got a potato ricer, basically like a potato juicer. You shred the hash browns, just fresh, real potatoes, shred them with a cheese grater, and then throw a handful of them in the little potato ricer, squeeze the juice out. The key to crispy hash browns is getting rid of as much moisture as possible. So I got one of those.
I tried to shred potatoes on a grater once, and then it was just like, remember like in like, you ever like have a high school arts class where they're going like, oh, we're going to teach you how the Egyptians made papyrus. And so you just, you just tear up a bunch of other paper and then you get it wet and you press it back together. That's how my hash browns are. It's like salty papyrus.
Yeah. It's all that moisture. It makes them mushy. So you got to get rid of that moisture. But yeah, what else? Oh, and I made the pork ribs the last day just for myself.
That was you alone making a full rack of ribs, just staring into the distance.
Oh, man, that was funny. I cooked those suckers for about 4.5 hours.
I know how long you cooked them because I was digging underneath a van for the exact amount of time.
Yeah, we had two opposite experiences that last afternoon there. I'm babysitting some ribs, and you're digging a giant hole in the desert.
Well, let's also talk about Wednesday night where we did mushrooms, but the mushrooms were kind of mellow.
Right. Yeah, you and I did a dose and a half.
Yeah.
And
a dose and a half, and I took whatever Kenny had in the pills. The mushroom pills.
Right. Kenny had. And I never felt much of anything. It was very disappointing.
I think I get more out of mushrooms when I am by myself. So it wasn't so much that the music you guys were listening to was terrible, but it also that I do get more out of mushrooms when I'm just kind of alone, spacing out on stuff.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
So
do you think that had something to do with it?
Well, I went up on that rock and was just hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I urge everyone. Okay. You guys. Also, the night before we were drunk and Andy Wood came out because Andy Wood lives out there. Mm-hmm. And I fell asleep on one of the rocks when we were all hanging out. I'm very comfortable in the desert usually. Apparently. But so everybody took the mushrooms, and everybody's kind of hanging out, shooting the shit and stuff. And you guys were all hanging out at camp, and across the road was like this rock people were hanging out on. So I went over there, and I was watching, and the constellations were rearranging themselves a little bit. But you guys were on a full jam band kick. And
well, I can't, don't blame me for
I'm
that.
I'm not blaming you, but I think.
Okay. That wasn't
I
mine.
I think you lent.
That wasn't mine.
It started with a lot of jam band because when we got there Monday, what were you playing? Were you playing like Sleep or what were you playing?
Yeah, I was playing some Doom. I was playing some Sleep. And then the one thing that you and I were listening to was this Swedish psychedelic band from the 70s called Baby Grandmothers. And I was really digging that. Just instrumental, just kind of stoner psychedelic guitar rock.
That was, but then whatever, like the big droning where it's like somebody pushed a grand piano down some stairs and then slowed it down to 1/8 of the speed. Mm-hmm. Just boom, boom. Like it just sounded like there was a monster coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounded like. Not sexually, like there's a monster approaching. It's far away, which is why the music is slow right now, but be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that lent itself to the big Americana kick, which I usually am pretty good with. I was in a weird mood this whole trip, and so I blame myself. But then for everybody here, if you want a soundtrack of the moment I said, oh, fuck no, find a band called Rubble Bucket.
Rubble Bucket.
And a song.
Right. That was Kenny's. That was Kenny's.
And a song came out of a lady. Which, sober, I've listened to it sober in a better mood, and I can see how this could be a celebratory, positive song. But I was already in a weird enough mood about other shit, just about stuff in life. And I came back in to the campground, and everybody was just quiet around a campfire. And this song was just like, there was like whistling and horns, and the chorus was like, I came out of a lady. And I'm like, this is not what I want on my mind at all right now.
Kitty's about those positive vibes.
Which I support. But I was not in that mood. And I looked at you. I was like, Dave, what? How are you allowing this?
Well, you know, everybody gets a turn. They put up with my stoner doom metal. I was going to let Kenny have his go.
No,
I was going to keep my mouth shut.
It was. I just thought it was hilarious. Like, because I was already kind of in a bit of a salty mood to walk back into that and be like, all right, I'm just not vibing on it. But, yeah, then you went back to the doom metal when I was trying to dig out the van, and I almost said something, but I knew you were having your you were making the ribs. But it was like you just had a soundtrack to a bad mood playing. And I'm like, just getting sunburnt, laying in the sand.
I felt so bad for you, man. You were, I mean, that thing sank. Like, how deep was that hole once we got it out?
I think it was
like a 4-foot
hole.
Yeah,
I think about a good 3.5 feet. Well, that's when they kept mentioning sand traps in the description of the place. I wasn't sure what they meant. I'm thinking like, oh, clearly that's loose sand over there, so don't drive on that. But we pulled off into the campsite, and everybody was fine. And I just tried to – I was trying to reposition the van to, like, give everybody a windbreak because Kenny and Fritz's tents – like, those dudes slept.
Oh.
And their tents – the poles didn't even break. The wind was just so strong, it blew the tents flat to the ground. So
and held them there.
Yeah, so it looked like they were just, like, vacuum sealed.
Yeah.
by nylon when they were sleeping.
And that's, I feel like I prepared pretty well for this trip. That's one thing I like to do when I go on camping trips or any trip. I prepare to a T. Like the whole menu, all the food I had planned out. And, you know, I took precaution with everything. Never once did it even cross my mind that wind would be a factor.
Yeah.
Wind pretty much ruined this trip. That second or the third day, it was so windy that we couldn't do anything. It was insane. I can't remember the last time I've been in wind that intense that didn't follow a hurricane or a tornado or something. Those had to be 25, 30 mile an hour winds all day, just steady, didn't let up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's when Fritz and Kenny were just like, ah. We're going to cut our losses.
Because it wasn't even all day. It was all night, too. Like the
Yeah,
they,
all day, all
For some
night.
Reason, I don't know if the because you had a cot in your tent and the way it was angled, yours wasn't blowing down. And I was obviously
And I had those
van.
Aftermarket like, spikes.
Oh, and you had some to hold down. Yeah. Because then that next day, because you had a big old folding table set up with all like the prep work, and it was just, it was like whack-a-mole with just trying to like, you get something blows off, you go and get it, put it down. The next thing blows off. Then shit that you thought was too heavy to blow away starts blowing away.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was gnarly. It made it rough. And I don't blame those dudes for cutting out. And I felt bad too. Cause I'm like, I think I'm going to head out. Cause I was like, I thought I cursed myself by eating meat. Clearly I had.
I didn't even think about that.
I brought a blight upon my house, my van.
That second night, this was pre-mushrooms. That was mushrooms were the third day, I think. That second night, right when Kenny and Fritz got there, we had the nice dinner with the jerk chicken. And then we all got stoned and or drunk and decided to go sit up on the boulders.
Yeah, that was cool.
And do a little stargazing. That was a lot of fun. And then we're probably up there about 20 minutes, and we each kind of find our own little boulder. And we're all kind of the same little vicinity. We're all in the same little area together. And we're all just – and this wasn't anything we planned. You know, it was just kind of assumed, like, all right, we're high – We're in the desert. We're on boulders. It's the middle of the night. Let's just be quiet. It was very peaceful and almost meditative.
Yeah.
And me, you, Fritz, Kenny, and Andy was with us, Andy Wood. And so we're sitting up there. Everybody's got their own little boulder. We're up there about 20 minutes. Nobody's saying a word. We're just really, it was really peaceful. And then out of nowhere, we hear some aggressive snoring. And Fritz thought it was like a coyote or something. He really thought it was an animal. Really? He was getting panicked. Yeah. He really thought it was like he was getting worried. He had this because he was right next to me. And I saw where the snoring was coming from. And he didn't know the source of it. And we look over there and you were just conked. You're just out. Just sawing logs, buddy. On a boulder.
Oh.
Just down for the count.
When it's,
and I got a good picture of that, too.
Oh, I didn't see the picture. I mean, when it's time for your boy to sleep, especially out in a place like that, I'm one with that landscape.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was that long. I thought maybe I dipped out for a second.
And you did that thing where you didn't believe. Was I asleep? No. No. Really?
I had no idea. I truly had no idea.
And I even said, like, we're not mad. Like, it's fine. But you were just, you couldn't believe that you were sleeping and snoring. You're like, really? No.
Well, no. It's like when somebody tells you what you did in a blackout drunk, and you're like, oh, God. Yeah. I'm capable of that? Because I'm like, no, we're hanging out. I wasn't asleep because we're hanging out. I didn't know it was 20 minutes. You guys were just kicking it up there in silence.
Yeah. That was really funny. Oh, and then remember we found what looked like a couple of shallow graves?
Oh,
that
yeah.
was interesting.
Like when you went walking around the morning, the Tuesday morning, because we first got there Monday, and you said that. I'm like, Dave's always seeing shit. I got to go call bullshit on this. And I walked out there. I'm like, nah, dog, these look like graves to me, too.
I don't know what else they could have been. They look just like graves.
They weren't filled, though. They were insane. Dug. And I wonder if it's like enough of a, I wonder if that's just enough of a, like, are we trying, did somebody have a plan or was it like a scare tactic or?
Maybe the hit got called off. Maybe they dug the graves in advance and then decided not to go through with it.
But then part of me, this is how silly it is. Part of me is like, wouldn't you try to hide them better? And then I looked at where we're at. I'm like, this is hidden. It's the middle of the fucking desert.
We were about 9 miles from the nearest paved road.
Yeah.
Like we were out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
And I don't think.
Like as if Joshua Tree itself is not isolated enough. We were a good 8-9 miles from any paved road. Like, oh. It was. I loved it. I loved how open it was.
I hate how morose I go. Like I saw those. I'm like, I would have gone a little further. I would at least not done it off of a driving trail. I would have dug them off a footpath. I'm like, why am I thinking this way? What am I planning for? Who knows? Some assassins are more ambitious than others.
Mm-hmm. That's. I mean, if you're gonna dispose of a body, that's the place to.
Like, if we can find it, you're probably not doing a good job.
Yeah, that's true.
But they were supposed to be buried too. You figure they're buried in the desert. The wind blows it all around. But holy shit, man! Yeah, and then so I kept digging and digging for hours to no avail. And had a flat tire. Didn't realize the tire gone flat on top of it. Finally called AAA because we did somehow have good cell service where we were.
Yeah.
Inexplicably weird. So. No towers. No idea how we had solid cell service.
Mm-hmm.
But then, the little fucking bleep bloop car came out there. Like, oh, because they're like, oh, you got a flat tire? I'm like, no, I told them I needed a tow because the flat tire is buried under sand. And then they just called that. That fucking tweaker truck out there, which I'll never make fun. Make fun of those pickup trucks again. This has already turned into a 10-minute bit. Just recounting the events of the past week.
Yeah. A guy came out with a full size Dodge Ram 2500 4x4
lifted, lifted, but not off like big, but like mall crawler wheels, big wheels, kind of skinnier tires. The wrap was the Fourth Amendment. Because I had time to, because I was watching him, because I was helpless at this point. So I was watching, I was reading his truck. And it's the Fourth Amendment, which is like the freedom against illegal search and seizure. I'm like, oh man, some specific shit went down with this dude.
What a weird thing to wrap your truck in.
It's full disclosure, it's already made its way into a bit, but I'm like, that's like First Amendment, you get it. Second Amendment, you get it. Fourth Amendment, something happened to you directly for you to like start learning about the Constitution enough to get a truck wrap about the very specific part of the Constitution that you were affected by. Like somebody broke, you got meth lab charges, but they didn't have a warrant. Is that what happened?
Oh,
and that guy was so friendly, I know he's stealing my credit card. That dude was like so, or he was just delighted to help another LA dipshit. Because I was like, how many idiots from LA does this happen to? He's like, oh, like two or three times a day. I'm like, all right, well, this is like, you guys are so happy that fucking LA dipshits are coming out there getting stuck.
It's a good gig for someone out there, man. You got a big truck, got a 4x4. It's a good gig basically independent contractor for AAA.
Yeah. Hey, Garrett, do you want to make $200 real quick? So.
All right. Fresh from San Diego, California, comes the only sunglasses brand I'm ever going to wear again. I'm talking, of course, about Blenders Eyewear. You're going to be just as hooked when you see how awesome these shades are. I got the Psycho Cat model because I'm a psycho cat, you know? It fits me to a T. They're great. The Blenders is good because they look cool, but they're not these bougie, you know, $300 pair. Let's be honest. I'm probably going to sit on these at some point. You know, I take them to the beach. I wear them when I'm driving. It's a good time. I got the Psycho Cats. Blenders Eyewear. Kyle, what do you got going on, buddy?
I'll tell you this. My sister was camping last week and found a pair of sunglasses that looked just like the ones that I got. I think I got the horn dogs. I don't know. I forget what the name. I think I got the horn dog wraparounds. And she found from a different company. And she's like, oh, I got these thinking they're cheap sunglasses because they feel like cheap sunglasses. $100 this other brand.
Wow.
Not Blenders. These horn dogs, they weren't no $100. But I was wearing them in the desert. You want to get a look at them? Look at the clips of before shit went wrong in the desert. Those were the ones I was wearing. Wraparounds. They're kind of sci-fi, but also kind of like,
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. I'm here to dispose of all those Miller Lights you guys couldn't finish. So it's a mix between that. Like I'm here to finish your light beer on this spaceship. That's the kind I got.
Okay.
And I like them. And what was my
Chase
part?
Chase Fisher started Blenders by selling his beachy shades out of a backpack while doubling as a surf instructor on Pacific Beach. His goal to create an adventurous mid-priced eyewear option with the same cool factor as other leading styles. Kyle, where can we get these awesome Blenders eyewear?
And that's a hustle, because if you know surf instructors, boy, they don't have a lot of downtime. So to really start up a sunglass business in the midst of all that surf instruction, what an ambitious fella. You can get these at blenderseyewear.com. And if you want to go ahead and get 15% off your, but 15% off these already affordable sunglasses. And since these are the ones I was wearing on a desert trip, and I do like them. They're comfy and they're fun and silly shades. BlendersEyewear.com, enter promo code Boogie VIP. Boogie B-O-O-G-I VIP. BlendersEyewear.com. That's the whole word. Blenders, like multiple blenders. Blenders, plural. Eyewear, E-Y-E. WEAR.com. Don't spell dot. That's just a period.
No.
Code Boogie VIP for 15% off. You want to say the last part together? Like it'll be fun?
Yeah, let's do that last part. Blenders
rocked with pride
worldwide. Look at that. We did it.
That's
BlendersEyewear.com, promo code Boogie VIP. Hey, it's me, Dave. I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not a self-help thing. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional online counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily, such as this one. She's amazing and feels like a friend, but never blurs the line between friend and therapist. I love her, says one client in reference to counselor Monique Evelyn. Another client reviewed counselor Paul Pennington. Totally recommend. Open and supportive. Visit BetterHelp.com/boogie. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Special offer for Boogie Monster listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/boogie. Oh, man. But yeah, I had fun, even though it didn't go quite as planned. But that last night I was there by myself, completely alone. Mm-hmm. And man, I got to tell you, dude, when you're out that far and you're completely alone, like, it was a little creepy. Yeah. And about 2 a.m, I think around the area of where we sat on those boulders, maybe the other side of those boulders, was a pretty substantial pack of coyotes. Like, they sounded, I didn't see them because it was pitch black, but they couldn't have been more than 200 or 300 yards away. And just hooping and hollering, big pack, wind blowing.
I walked around there during the day, and you could definitely tell there was, like, good shelter areas for animals to bed mm-hmm. down. Like, not necessarily caves, but this is the way these giant boulders had kind of fallen and formed, that there was a lot of, like, coves and, like, protected areas for animals to hang out in. It's weird, having been in LA, you know that coyotes are pretty much harmless, but the sound of them is still intimidating, because they mm-hmm. I've never lived around wolves, but you kind of think them akin to wolves, like, oh, these wild dogs. They really don't give a shit about people. But I remember, like when I first moved to LA and visited Joshua Tree and heard coyotes, I was like, oh, God, I thought they were wolves. Mm-hmm. It's still a haunting sound, whether they can hurt you or not. It's still a scary sound. But I'm glad you had that. Glad you had that night by yourself and that it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Just peaceful, just chilling. And overall, the trip was good. I wish it wasn't so damn windy. And sorry for your misfortune getting stuck and all that. But I had a good
fucking throw it on
the stargazing
this week.
Was insane.
Yeah. Stargazing was great.
Yeah, it's incredible the difference the sky looks at the nighttime when you're out there with no light pollution. Like, it was insane. Yeah,
and really no moon either. I had woken up at one point to piss and finally saw the moon coming out, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, oh, is this all the stars? This is all of them? I think mm-hmm. this might be all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a good time of year to go out in the desert. It wasn't too hot during the day. Probably low 80s, mid 80s was probably the hottest day we encountered. But about low to mid 50s at night, low to mid 80s during the day. Everything was pretty tolerable.
I'd say bring a nice canopy or sunshade, but we were 0-2 on those.
Jeez, I bought a brand new canopy I was very excited about. Thing broke the first day. Part of that's my fault, because I had bungeed. I set it up that first night, and I had a bungee cord, and I attached 2 sacks of groceries to it and threw it over the center to kind of keep everything, to add some weight and some anchor to it. And it got so windy that first night that we took the tarp off and left the structure standing. And so the next morning when I put the tarp up back on and tried to spread the thing back out again, I forgot that I had had the weighted bungee. And I'm trying to muscle this thing up, like bring the legs up so they click into place. And I'm putting it up, and I'm like, why is this so difficult? And I just kind of muscled it up. Didn't even think about having that, you know, probably 30 pounds worth of grocery sacks bungee to it. And muscled it a little too hard and just snapped one of the little aluminum bars, just snapped it in half.
Yeah.
Fucking first night, just ruined that damn thing. Then Kenny brought one that was already kind of haggard.
Yeah, the next day.
Yeah, the next. And that one, the tarp just ripped to shreds due to the wind. So no shade whatsoever the whole trip other than our floppy hats. Yep.
That's what, you know, like, you see camping gear and you get excited and it's like, oh, we're going to camp. And camping, for me, it's like you always associate it with the woods. You never factor in wind. Like, oh, I hope it's waterproof.
Yep.
Oh boy, yep. I hope I'll be warm. But wind, mm-hmm. when you realize you're effectively raising a sail.
Yeah.
You're raising a cubed or triangular sail in the wind. So to try and set it up in that, but then hope it stays there. Put all your heavy shit. Like, forget tent stakes are. If you're car camping, take your gallons of water, put them in the corners of your tent. Worry about your mm-hmm. tent stakes later, but put all your heavy shit in the corners of your tent. That's going to do you 1,000 times better than especially those, like, the little metal stakes. I've got some. I don't know if I got corkscrew ones, but, like, especially sand. Get sand anchors. Get the things you dig out and you put in, like, it's a little bag that you bury and then fill it with sand. But even then, buy extra gallons of water and put them in the corners of your tent. That's the best bet you got for keeping that thing in place, not upright, just in place.
Yeah, it never dawned on me the wind. There's no way to combat the wind either, really.
No.
I mean, you can get warm, you can get cool, you can get dry, but that wind, we were just sitting ducks. There was just really nothing we could do.
Yeah.
And at that point, it just became unenjoyable. Like, what are we doing?
Well, yeah, and I was all right in the van, but then I got mine. When the dudes finally pulled the van out of the hole, because, yeah, the sand trap they were talking about, turns out, like, if you're stuck and then you spin your wheels a little bit, you're effectively, it's like taking a table saw into the earth with mm-hmm. your tires.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I was taking the firewood, putting it under the rocks, putting it up there, nothing. So they pulled it out. I got it up into a higher, flat, sturdy area to change the tire. And then they're like, well, you did call AAA for the tire change. We're going to help you with that. And as much as my ego was a little hurt, because I have all this recovery gear that I bought for the Jeep, toe straps, Max Tracks, everything everybody recommended on Instagram when I put the picture up of being stuck, which thank you for that. And thank you for the people who were just like, hey, man, we'll get you. We live nearby here. Once I took the picture, I realized I got things I got to deal with. This isn't like a let's document it and be fun for the social media. Mm-hmm. I just got to handle my life. But I had all that shit sitting at home like a fucking idiot. So I was like kind of too stubborn almost to ask them to change the tire. But they're like, well, now then we'll help you because that's why you called AAA. And I was like, all right. But I'm over there like useless. Well, those two dudes are doing it. Like, oh, can I get you something to drink? Like, I just was trying to help. But they had to open the back doors up to, like, so the side doors open, the back doors were open. And where I was parked, the van was basically a perfect tunnel for the wind. So mm-hmm. all my bedding and everything was just getting blown all the fire. Like, it was just sand everywhere. I rattled the shit out of this thing, too. Anything that might have come loose in 6 months came loose in the fucking half hour it took for me to cramble out of the back to a paved road.
Like, did you notice those roads, by the way? Like, I don't know if they were specifically designed this way or if it was just a byproduct of all the wind out there, but some of those roads felt like they were purposely graded to make it feel like speed bumps.
No, you
like there were stretches of that road where you couldn't go more than 6 or 7 miles an hour because it was so bumpy and rattling.
That's a weird thing that occurs on mountain bike trails. They're called braking bumps. And I thought they were like man-made too, but for some reason it's not. It's like, it is a natural. Listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they are a natural occurrence. They seem like uniform. It seems like when you're coming up, like be prepared to stop, and it's not speed bumps, but it's like the brr, that kind of like wake up.
Yeah. And it looked purposefully made that way, but you're saying it's not.
It's not. It's something that it's somehow it occurs natural, and I don't know. Let's put that one to the. We should put that one to the internet.
Yeah.
If you want to give them the recipe, I'll go on the internet. What is it? Oh, in the last detail, I'll say the last detail of my whole go fuck yourself, Kyle Kinane trip. Is when I got back, I had to go to the Ford dealership. I'm at the old Ford dealership in North Hollywood. And the most like oh, LA's got an outbreak. Because I drove in and like everything was open when I got in that Friday. I'm like, oh shit, LA opened back up. And you know, because LA apparently had like a pretty bad outbreak with COVID and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the Ford dealership. The girl checking me at the Ford dealership. Just starts, like, I don't know how we got into it right away. She's like, oh, I had COVID. Like, first off, like, sharing the pens. I'm like, oh, do I need a clean pen? She'd already just handed me one, and I took it without realizing there's a bin of clean pens. She's like, oh, whoops, yeah. Oh, I had it. I caught COVID when I was getting lipo. She told me that already, that she already had COVID while she was getting lipo. And then when I was asking for the Wi-Fi password, she took my phone out of my hands to type it in herself. And I was like, well, I can see why this city has a problem with the outbreak. It was just an added like LA story bit of like, oh, I got COVID when I got lipo. Let me touch your phone. Fuck.
Oh man. How LA.
It was, and I'm still here. Like I'm kind of scared. If I was leaving, I'd be like, all right, see you later, everybody. But I still got to be here for a few days.
Hey, just speaking of that, with the vaccines, and I haven't done enough research, shocking, but once we all have the vaccine, we're not completely out of the woods, right? Like, you could still get COVID with the vaccine, but maybe, did I hear correctly, you could get it, but you won't die?
I think it's...
Like, it's not foolproof. It's not a complete foolproof plan,
I think
right?
It's that
like,
you could still carry it,
okay,
and spread it to other people, which is why it's still like wear a mask, wash your hands.
Uh-huh.
But man, here's a boogie monster topic of some shit I saw on Reddit where it's like the Pentagon developed a microchip that they can inject in you to detect if you have COVID before you show symptoms. I'm like, this is the shit we're fighting these idiots over.
Yeah.
This is what people say, and we call them morons. And now you made it. You are fucking us over here, man. Fucking tell them the earth is flat in certain parts. Go do that, you fucking idiots. Like it's not hard enough to maintain some semblance of intellectualism in society. The Pentagon made a microchip to insert. You fucking idiots. Sorry, Dave. Jerk chicken. Go.
Jerk chicken marinade. Get a blender.
Sorry.
This is so simple. Throw all this shit in a blender. This is all you got to do. You don't got to cook anything. I mean, you could roast off some of this stuff, but just take all this shit, throw it in a blender. 4 green onions. 2 thumbs of ginger peeled. A whole bulb of garlic. You know, obviously remove the skins. 2 habaneros. That's the star of the show, this jerk, is the habaneros. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. Habanero, like, hundreds, if not a couple thousand times hotter on the Scoville scale than jalapenos. Didn't realize that, but these habaneros are hot as shit. Green onions, ginger, garlic, habaneros, 1/4 cup of brown sugar, teaspoon of allspice, teaspoon of dried thyme, teaspoon of ground ginger, teaspoon of cinnamon, tablespoon of smoked paprika, tablespoon of kosher salt, 3 tablespoons of lime juice, 3 tablespoons of lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, 1/4 cup of veggie oil,
quality pronunciation.
Half of it. Yeah, thank you. Half a yellow onion, 1/4 cup of bourbon, 1 tablespoon of honey, 1 tablespoon of molasses, 1 sprig of fresh thyme, 1 sprig of fresh rosemary. Throw all that shit in a blender, blend it up nice and blended. Yeah, yeah, there we go. dump that shit over your chicken. Let it marinate for at least 12, preferably 24 hours. And, score that chicken with a knife first. Like, cut some little slots into it with your knife and let that shit marinate for like a day. And then cook it how you will. You could roast it in the oven. You could grill it. You could grill it on the grill. You could even smoke it. Do whatever you want. But once this chicken's been marinating for about 24 hours in that marinade, it is Flavortown USA, baby. And I don't know if you noticed, the way I finished it, I marinated it, we grilled it, and then the finishing touch, a little lime juice and a little honey. I drizzled a little honey over it, hit it with a little more jerk seasoning. Man, that was
What?
I don't want to pat myself on the dick, but that was some good chicken.
Once I started eating it, it was like asking a kid what kind of wrapping paper was on his new Nintendo. I don't know, man. I'm in this shit. It was scrumptious, dude.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I was proud of that one. That was a good meal.
It's not
jerk chicken.
It's not in the same school as Howlin' Ray's, but.
It's a different,
but it was
a different
like,
thing altogether.
But chicken, you know, chicken's my thing, man. Like, I miss chicken the most. And to have that, this is why I couldn't even eat more, because I came back. And then it was, like, I just got set off. Like, I cheated on somebody, and now I can't stop looking at other women. Like, I drove by, there was, like, one of those char grill, you know the places that always have, like, burger pastrami? Tacos horchata, like that, like the sign that just has
teriyaki bowls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was one of those over by where I got my vaccine Saturday, and they were like pumping the char burger smell at the top, and I almost got one because I like the big burger, like Rick's Burger or something, like the big ones with the bun and all the fresh. I was already like, well, you already had chicken this week. Like, I already started making the list of excuses for why I could have it.
Well, I feel both ashamed and responsible, but also proud that you broke, you know, kind of like, and I know this isn't the first time you broke edge, but I feel like I took your virginity in some weird way. Like, oh, I'm sorry it was me, but also way to go.
Well, who knows? I do clearly fall asleep and don't know what happens, so maybe.
Yeah.
Something happened. and let's go. And
I did feel bad. I felt like I was a bad influence on you with all this cooking.
I made my choice. I knew what I was walking into.
Man.
If a sober person goes to a party, you're like, hey, I'm letting you know now there's going to be drugs there. I'll be fine. I'm going to go to that party. Then they do drugs. That's the individual. You didn't surprise me with anything. And also, it's not like you were a shit cook before and all of a sudden you were good. And like, well, I got to try. It's like, I know it's going to be scrumptious. washboard roads are created.
Okay. Yeah, washboard. That was a better way to describe what I was trying to describe. Yeah, it was like driving on a washboard.
It just moved at a certain speed, not unlike a skipping stone, according to HowStuffWorks.com. Kind of like a skipping stone, I guess. Something is going to go across a surface and bounce. They thought it was because of the suspension of a wheel bouncing up and down that eventually, like, one person goes over, the wheel hits kind of an elevated area, goes up and then comes down and creates a lower area and then goes back up. And then enough vehicles going over that same formation accentuates it. But they really say it's more like a skipping stone that it needs to be thrown with enough above a specific speed in order to have enough force to bounce off the surface. A washboarding plow is similar, except the sandy surface remembers shape.
Huh.
It's like skipping a stone, except the water returns to its normal state. The sand doesn't. So something driving across it is going to kind of bounce and create elevated areas and lower areas, but then it's going to stay that way. And then the next vehicle that comes across it will do the same thing. And more you get a washboard because it's everybody kind of going at a similar speed, I guess, that they're all hitting the same points. So that seems like a...
Yeah, I don't think I've encountered that. There were parts of the of those roads where, like, we literally had to slow down to, like, less than 10 miles an hour just because it was, like, any faster and just the car would rattle so much that it was just incredibly annoying.
Oh, yeah, it turns into, like some episode of Star Trek or something where they're like, everybody's holding onto the ship. But, fucking hot dog, buddy.
Well, we did a thing.
We did it. We did.
Maybe it didn't turn out exactly how we had planned. It never does. You know, things never turn out how you plan them. But I had fun. It was great. It was great seeing friends again.
Yeah.
I've seen you. We've seen each other for 5 minutes prior to this trip. We've seen each other for 5 minutes in a year.
Yeah.
And the other pals on the trip, I haven't seen them in over a year. So it was fun seeing people again.
It was fun seeing you staring into the desert, listening to doom metal with a full rack of ribs on the grill and a mohawk. And I was like, yeah, Dave needs this.
Oh, man. I had a blast. It was a good time. It was fun hearing you get into socio-political debates with other friends.
Well, some friends are like the aforementioned absolutists. Where it's like you only see the ideal and you won't compromise on the ideal, which admirable.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck with that. Good luck with that. And it makes for real cool bumper stickers. You know, all cops are bastards. Kill the eat the rich. Those are great stickers and T-shirt slogans. Wholly inapplicable to the society we live in. But... you know, good for you. Good for you having a high school junior's view of how the world should work.
Oh,
and
boy.
I hate saying that because I want to believe in those things too, but I understand that there is what moderate voices don't get amplified on social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Behind the scenes. And I agree with so many of the. Of the same points as people that I get bummed out when people want to be like, oh, because of this one thing, you saw some gray area. Well, let's just eliminate you from the roster. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, this one videoed interaction. I dealt with, if you're a fucking cop lover, man, fuck you. All right. You're making things worse. You're making your side harder because you're going to lose people like me. You're going to lose anybody that's even slightly below the level of commitment you have. You just want to fucking shit all over them. Well, good luck, because your side is going to the things you want, the participants, you're going to get fewer and fewer until eventually you're the only one that can uphold your own set of ideals.
Yeah.
So.
Well, buddy, I'm sorry for all the misfortune and inconveniences on this trip. I hope your journey back home is better.
You provided some of the great parts of it, so thank you. Thank you.
Oh, well, thanks, buddy. But, yeah, man, it was fun. And just watch out for those alarms. Watch out for those sand traps.
I asked my sister 3 times today if I can go out the back door. Like, is it? Can I go stand out there?
Oh, man. When you head back to Oregon?
I don't know, man. I was supposed to like hang out down here and ride bikes for at least tomorrow. And when this whole idea of riding bikes, like when we were out in Joshua Tree, I'm like, it's windy and hot and it's not going to be fun. The trails out here don't look exciting enough to brave the shitty weather. And then the now my knee is for shit, so I'm not going to ride at all. So I'm kind of thinking like I might just make a slow cruise up and visit some pals in Sacramento and bang around. Part of me is like, well, I could still camp, but like even not really, because I don't want to be hobbled by myself, you know, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
it's true. Like camping, and part of camping is hiking and seeing the cool stuff. So as long as And then fortunately my sister and girlfriend are just super chill and like, no, stay however long you want. We don't care. So I might just kick it here and I don't know. So probably Thursday afternoon, because I got to get to Humboldt. I'm still saying I'm going to do the show. Now I've canceled 3 shows this weekend, which were just spots, not full shows. But Humboldt, yeah. Friday and Saturday, I will be there. I might need help getting on and off the stage. Hopefully not. Hopefully by then, get this cleared up.
You're at Savage Henry Comedy Club?
Yeah.
I like that
place. See all them
say hey to those guys.
See all them goofballs up there.
Yeah, who we got up there? Chris Durant.
Redbeard.
Redbeard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love all those character, guys. Dr. Foxmeat, who I'm still not sure which guy that is, but.
I like that whole crew up there, man. Good folks.
Yeah. Old Redbeard. Redbeard's fun. I love a fucking tattooed Northern California ginger who is just mostly a Rastafarian.
It's a different pace up there, man.
Different pace, a lot of positivity.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right on, buddy. Well, seriously, safe travels, man. Hopefully you got all the minor inconveniences out of the way.
I hope so. And if not, we'll have another banger of an episode next week.
All right, buddy. Anything else to plug?
No. What about you, man? Are you good? You got back? Everything's fine back in the homestead for you?
Oh, everything's great, man.
Yeah.
If it was any better, it wouldn't be fair.
Oh, okay. I'm
living a charmed life over here, buddy. I can't complain.
Be careful. That's what I was thinking 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't think it's cursed to enjoy it. It's cursed if you don't have gratitude for it.
Oh, I got plenty of gratitude.
Then that's good. That seems to keep the demons at bay. I think I got a little too. I think I wasn't showing enough gratitude for my scenario. And I'm playing. I know my shit's still silly. Nothing tragic's happened. It's all silly. We're all still here.
Yeah, man. It's all good, buddy. Well, cool, man. I don't really have anything to plug. I'm all sold out of my hogwash vinyl. Those are gone forever. Still got some cookbooks. Stoneberg's back tomorrow on what is that? Tuesday? When do we drop those? Wednesday. Getting back into normal routines over here, so things are good.
Right on. Oh, yeah, and I got to say that we're doing a live Hey Girl on Saturday the 24th.
Nice.
Not live online with Tom Segura and Lisa Traeger. And I just found out that the April 21st gigs at Helium Portland, it was 100 seats per show, and it's gone back down to 50 seats per show. So I'm going to figure out the ticketing for that. So if you bought one already, I'm sorry for the rescheduling. But I live up there, so I'll be back there. So if that ticket gets rescheduled, it's not like I'm not going to be back in a year. I'll be back the day before or the day after. So we'll figure that one out.
Okay.
If anybody has any real personal issues with it or like, oh, we were only visiting or something, hit me up on Instagram. And hopefully I'll get back to you and we'll sort something out there. Also, I think they'll offer refunds. But I just found that out now. I just saw a message about that. And
they're having to readjust their capacities and stuff due to COVID policies.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just saw a text about it now while we were recording. So I'll sort that out. The 25th, I'm supposed to be at Laughs in Seattle. I don't think tickets are out for that yet, which I'm not sure why. So I'm going to get that sorted out. Pay attention to that. And Nashville in June, along with a tour.
Right on, buddy.
I think.
Well, that's cool, man. Getting back to normal.
Something.
Maybe.
Something.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Be good. Be good, buddy.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.